Turning tonight to Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. And we're going to commence our reading at verse 15 of that chapter. Let me welcome you along tonight to our time of prayer. It's good to see all who are here. And we pray that Lord will bless our time together around his word and then as we get to our time of prayer as well. Judges chapter 16. Breaking into a very familiar passage, a very familiar story, the story of Samson and his connection with Delilah in this chapter. And the results of that, we'll read that section from the 15th verse. And she said unto him, How canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees. She called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Amen. We'll finish there at verse 22. I pray the Lord blesses his word to our hearts. It's verse 20 that I want to draw your attention to before we get to prayer tonight. Where Samson awakens or is awakened out of his sleep. And he shakes himself, or at least he thinks he will shake himself and go out as at other times. And he doesn't know that the Lord was departed from him. I think the last few words in that verse, the Lord was departed from him, summarizes this entire section. And that's what I want to look at for a little time tonight. The story of Samson is the story of great strength mixed with great weakness. It's a story of great courage mixed with great carelessness. And the story of great faith mixed with great folly. I think the story of Samson is one of the most difficult to understand. At least the character of Samson is the most difficult to understand. He's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 in that long line of the men of faith. And yet there are times when it appears in his life that he's living according to the dictates of his flesh. We're very familiar with the details of his life. Born at a time when the Philistines are causing havoc in the nation of Israel. And yet it's clear from the very moment his birth is announced to his parents that he would be a Nazarite unto God. That designation as a Nazarite would set him apart from others in the nation. He could not take wine or strong drink. He was not to cut his hair. He was not to eat anything that was unclean. And he was to live his life in consecration to God. Without question, God raised him up for a time, for that particular time in that era of Israel's history. In Judges chapter 13, the very end of that chapter records that the Lord blessed him. The child grew, and the Lord blessed him. The blessing of the Lord at one time was certainly upon Samson. And when the time was right, the Spirit of God began to move him, and Samson began to move against the Philistines in response. On one occasion, he slew 30 of them in Ashkelon. Another occasion, he burned their cornfields and their vineyards. At Lehi, he slew 1,000 of them with the jawbone of an ass. At Gaza, he thwarted their plans by carrying away the gates of the city at night while they lay waiting for him until the morning. And thus he escaped their carefully laid plan. Time and time again, Samson was moved to deliver himself and the people from the grip of the Philistines. Something we ought to note as we pass and make that comment, that Samson could only have done those things by the power of God upon him. One man could never have accomplished what Samson accomplished in his own strength, however strong that man might be. But here's a man who acts like one man as if he's an entire army, because he's empowered by the Lord himself. And we know that if God be for us, who can be against us? The secret of his strength was not so much in his flowing hair as it was in his consecration to God. His uncut hair was simply a symbol of that consecration. As a result of Samson's mighty exploits, he became a constant target of the Philistines. Becomes a man under constant threat. And Samson ought to have been on his guard to that danger. But instead of him remaining on high alert, he chose to make friends with certain Philistine women. One's a harlot, the other is Delilah. And it's while he was with Delilah that we read the horrendous record of Judges 16 and 20. We know the story very well, how she repeatedly asked him on behalf of the Philistine lords who were offering her great sums of money, how she repeatedly asked him the secret of his strength. And Samson eventually told her about his hair, his consecration to God. And when Delilah heard that, she knew that this was the truth after all the lies he had told her. She understood that now this man eventually has poured out his heart to her, and she arranges for a Philistine to come and shave his head. Verse 19 puts it at the end of the verse, his strength went from him. In verse 20, she tells him, the Philistines are upon thee, Samson. He wakes out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. And I suggest tonight that's the most tragic, the most terrifying statement that could ever be made concerning a believer. The Lord departed from him. And that there's one thing that we cannot afford, either as individual believers or as a body of believers, if there's one thing we can't afford, it is to come into a situation where it's said of us that the Lord departed from him. Or the Lord departed from them. We could lose many things in this world that would cause us grief and sorrow. But to lose the presence of the Lord, even for a time, is a loss that we cannot afford to experience. It wasn't my intention at all this week to consider this passage of Scripture. I read it this morning in my own devotional time, and as I read it then, these words in verse 20 lodged deeply in my heart. You'll notice, first of all, the cause of the Lord's departure. There were times in Samson's life when we read that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. You have references like that in Judges 13, 25, Judges 14, verse 6, 15, verse 15, other references indicating the very same truth. The Spirit of God coming upon this man and moving him and doing him with power. There were times the Spirit of God came upon Samson and enabled him to do great exploits for God. He was strengthened. But Judges chapter 16 and verse 19 speaks of his strength going from him. Not the Spirit coming upon him, but his strength going from him. And verse 20 follows that up with the statement, the Lord was departed from him. And obviously what you have in verse 19 and verse 20 is totally different from those other occasions when the Spirit of God comes to this man and endues him with power. This is a reversal of what he had known in the past. His strength goes from him. And then verse 20, the Lord departs from him. It begs the question, why? Why is it the case that this man who knew in previous times the Lord coming in power upon him, using him mightily in his service, using him as a judge against the Philistines, why now is it different? Why does he find his strength going from him and the Lord departing from him? And the only answer to that question is sin. The whole context here is of Samson's time with Delilah. And it's clear from the record that Samson had been overcome by the lusts of the flesh. He had been blinded by his worldly desires. Ever before, he was blinded by the Philistines. He made alliances with the ungodly. Here's a man, and he has forgotten his purpose. He had been set apart by God to deliver Israel from the Philistines, and the Bible records that he began to do that. That's what God had set him apart for, to deliver Israel from the Philistines. And yet we find him, and he falls in love with the Philistines. He's a man who has lost the purpose that God has for him. He's living contrary to God's word and to God's will. When he eventually tells Delilah the secret of his strength, he's playing very fast and very loose with his consecration to God. They've said Samson's strength did not lie so much in his hair. It lay in his consecration to the Lord. His hair was merely a symbol of that. So when his hair was shaven, it marked the impact or the losing of his consecration. And when that happened, the strength went from him. He had sinned. That's why he's a very strange character. A life of strength is mixed with a life of weakness. When he sins here with Delilah, gives to her the secret of his strength, the Lord departs. What is it that causes the Lord to depart or withdraw from his people in our day and generation? It's the exact same thing. If you turn with me to Song of Solomon, chapter 5. You know the story of that chapter well, how the beloved comes to the door and cries, "Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. My head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night." The spouse in verse 2 opens with the statement, "I sleep, but my heart waketh." As her heart is wakened, she hears the voice of her beloved. He has come to meet with her, come to fellowship with her, come to reveal and enjoy times with her, reveal himself to her. And she hears his voice. She knows what he is asking. "Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled." And she responds in verse 3, "I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them?" And there's coldness in her heart now. There's not that same devotion. There's not that same loyalty to her beloved. She begins to reason it in her mind, reasons why she ought not to go to the door and admit him to come in and meet with her. She reasons, "I have put off my coat, how shall I put it on? I have washed my feet, how shall I defile them?" And you'll notice the emphasis in that verse is all about self. "I have put off my coat, I have washed my feet, how shall I put my coat on? How shall I defile my feet?" And she thinks more of herself than she does of her beloved. And note what happens. "My beloved put his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone." Her love of self had caused her beloved to withdraw. When I look at Samson, I see the very same thing. His love of self had caused the Lord to withdraw from him. Samson's problem was Samson's sin. Did he not know what was taking place when Delilah kept asking him these questions? I think it's an amazing chapter, chapter 16, when you read the story when she goes to him in verse 6 and she's got this deal with the lords of the Philistines, and she goes to Samson and says, "Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee." And she tells him, you know, where does your strength lie? That I might bind you and afflict you. And he begins to play it out, and he gives her those various answers, and she discovers those are not true. And then she cries in verse 15, how canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. She's added every day, so much so that this man is vexed unto death, and yet he still tells her. And Mark, in verse 17, he tells her all his heart. There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. Samson knows. He knows what's going to happen. At least he pays testimony to it here. He knows what's going to happen if his hair is shaven. I will be as weak as any other man. Does he not see what's taking place? Does he not see Delilah's intention? Does he not know that the Philistines are waiting for him in her room? Because when she wakens him from those other times of sleeping, she tells him, the Philistines are upon you, and they're there in the room with him. But he doesn't seem to understand it. Perhaps he feels he can handle it. Doesn't count his obedience to God as a serious thing. He sins against the Lord. Because he sinned against the Lord, the Lord departed from him. And I tell you tonight, that's a very solemn thing. To live in such a way, to behave in such a way that the Lord departs from us. To have our strength go. I know I spoke last Wednesday night on the theme of our losing our power and becoming faint and weary, and I was thinking then of just the weariness that comes upon a believer, not because of any particular sin, just the weariness that comes. The Lord restores that weariness for, that strength for us. Here's a different situation. The strength is gone because of sin. What a tragedy it is when that has to be written over our lives, the Lord departed from him because of sin. And we need to search our hearts on this. And I need to search my heart on this. But the cause of the Lord's departure. Notice from verse 20, it's especially tragic to lose the Lord's presence and not know it. Verse 20 finishes with that statement, and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. That's incredible. Almost incredible. Sin not only causes the Lord to depart, but it blinds us to the fact that the Lord has departed. And whenever Delilah wakens him out of his sleep, he thinks to himself, I will go out as at other times. I will shake myself. He's not aware now at that point. He's not aware just out of that sleep. He's not aware that the Lord has departed from him. And I tell you, that's a tragedy. When the Lord has withdrawn himself, we have lost out with the Lord, and we don't even recognize it. We don't even perceive it. The word wist there has the thought of knowing or perceiving, understanding. He didn't perceive that the Lord had departed from him. I look at verse 20, I can't help but notice Samson's pride. I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. It's almost as if he looks back over all the exploits before and he summarizes them in this statement, I will shake myself and then I can be a match for the Philistines. I can deal with this. She tells him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. He thinks, I will go out. Haven't I gone out before? Haven't I gained a tremendous victory at Lehi when I slew 1,000 with the jawbone of an ass? Wasn't I able to go to Ashkelon and kill 30 of them and take their clothes and therefore pay the price of the riddle that I had given at the marriage. I will go out as at other times. And at that point in his life, Samson is a man who is confident in his own ability, resting on his own strength. I will go out as at other times. Not only is there a sense of pride, there's a sense of presumption there. I can do it. I can do it myself. I can go out. It doesn't matter if this room is full of Philistines. It doesn't matter that they have been here before. Does he not even remember that he had told Delilah the secret of his strength? It seems he doesn't realize it. I think he's resting on past blessings also. I will go out as at other times. Philistines haven't defeated me before. They won't defeat me now. And all the while he doesn't know the Lord has departed from him. He thinks things are what they were sometime earlier. And he is lost out with God. And he doesn't know it. You turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 2. And again, you know this story very well, the story of Joseph and Mary coming back from the time in the temple in Jerusalem. Christ is not journeying with them. They suppose he's in the company, but Christ is not there. Verse 43, and when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. They didn't know that Joseph or Jesus wasn't with them. They didn't perceive that Christ was not in their company that day. They presumed he was there. Verse 44. But they supposing him to have been in the company went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. They traveled that day just supposing Christ was in the company. They didn't go looking for him. They didn't miss him. They hadn't gone to try and talk with him or have him talk with them. They traveled that day just supposing Christ was in the company. And at the end of the day, they discovered that Christ was not there. Verse 43, verse 45, and when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. They went at the end of the day looking for Christ, and he wasn't there. But they had traveled a day without him. And they didn't know it. And Samson has traveled in Judges chapter 16 without the Lord, and he doesn't know it. And if it's a tragedy to lose the presence of God and the power of God in our lives, if that's a tragedy, and it is, I tell you, it's an even greater tragedy to lose that and not know it. And what Samson is proposing in verse 20, he is proposing that he can continue doing what he had been doing, even though the Lord wasn't with him. And that's impossible. It's possible for us individually to go through a Christian life and not really know we haven't the Lord with us as once we did. We can go through all the motions. We can go out as at other times. We can shake ourselves. We can do all of the externals. And yet live without really knowing the Lord is not amongst us. We will discover it very soon because we don't have the power that we need. There are consequences, and we'll look at that in a moment. But it's possible for a Christian to go through a day without knowing the Lord's presence. To go a week, a month. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. And that has to be a great tragedy. then it demands an inquiry. It demands an inquiry that we ought to make of ourselves. Is the Lord with me or not? Do I meet with him day after day or do I not? Do I know him speaking to me day after day or do I not? Do I enjoy his presence when I get to prayer or do I not? Do I know his help as I go through the day? Am I conscious of him guiding me and directing me and blessing me and meeting with me and strengthening me, or do I not? And just maybe when we start to ask that kind of question, we may find that we travel a day or 2 days or 3 days or more than that without the Lord. But we need to ask the questions. It's especially tragic to lose the Lord's presence and not to know it. You'll notice from verse 20 and 21 that the Lord's departure from his people brings devastating consequences for them. He wist not that the Lord was departed from him, but the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. There's a loss of power. The Philistines took him. Up until now, Samson has been taking the Philistines. He has gone against them, though he's just one man, but he has marched against them as if he's an army. And they haven't been able to stop him. He goes to Gaza, and the men there are ready to hand him over. And he waits till midnight. He doesn't wait until the morning light comes. He waits until midnight and he takes the gates and he just carries them away in a demonstration of exceptional power. The Philistines can't take him. He can take them. But look at how it's reversed now. The Philistines take him. And he has lost his power. He loses his vision also. They put out his eyes. Bore them out. This man of God, appointed to be the judge of Israel, the man who had known so much by way of victory in the past, can't even see his hand in front of his face. I think, too, it's suggested here, at least, that he's unrecognizable as that man of God now. You take a man who has long, long hair and shave it off, and you've got to take a second look to see, is that really him or not? We had one of the elders in Kilkeel who had a beard. Some people here have beards, so I better be very careful what I say. But he had a full-faced beard. And one Saturday he shaved it off, and I came into the prayer meeting on Sunday morning and I didn't recognize him. I thought he was a visitor, and I was about to extend a welcome to him, and I realized that's Ian without the beard. Well, can you imagine what it would be like for Samson without the long hair? People having to take a second look at him. Is that really Samson? Is that the man that caused havoc among the Philistines? And for that initial time when his eyes have been put out and he's down there in the prison house grinding and his hair is off, and people are asking, is that really Samson? Word begins to spread. Samson has been captured by the Philistines, and people in that area coming to see him. He's barely recognizable as a man of God. Isn't that what happens when we lose out with God? Barely recognized as people of God. We're barely recognizable as the men and women of God we ought to be. Produces shame also. He's down there grinding in the prison house, doing a job that's normally given over to the beasts. The Lord was departed from him. And look what happened. And it brings, of course, the Lord's name into great dishonor also, because we find towards the end of the chapter they make sport of him. They mock him. They bring him into the great place, the great hall. They make sport of Samson. Verse 24, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. Our God has done this. He gives the enemies cause to blaspheme. He brings dishonor to God's name. There are terrible consequences when the Lord departs from his people. Terrible consequences when our strength, our spiritual strength, goes from us. When we sin against the Lord. He wist not. He wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Verse 22 changes the scene for us, and it's a mercy this passage doesn't finish at the end of verse 21. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. And there is recovery there for Samson. And we may come back to that another night. The Lord hadn't cast him off completely. The hair of his head began to grow. And it amazes me, and I can only assume here the Lord had blinded the Philistines to that fact, that they don't even see the hair of his head beginning to grow again. That time in prison, the Lord begins to deal with Samson. The growing of his hair, an indication of his growing with the Lord and onto the Lord again. There's hope for Samson. The Lord uses him mightily in his death as he did in his life. And we'll come back to that maybe next time. But I pray the Lord will take that text in verse 20 and write it in our hearts. He wist not. He wist not that the Lord was departed from him. And as I said at the very start tonight, we can't afford that to happen. We can't afford that to happen. I can't afford it to happen as a believer. And I can't afford it to happen in my life as a minister. You can't afford it to let it happen in your life as a believer either. And we can't afford to let that happen to us as a congregation or as a denomination. We need to know the presence of the Lord in mighty. And I pray as we get to prayer tonight, the Lord will touch our hearts. He will search our hearts. He will help us to search our hearts. And that we'll know the Lord amongst us in this time of prayer. It's what the Church of Christ needs. It's what we need as a church here. It's what we need in our families. It's what we need in our homes. It's what we need in our own lives. The Lord amongst us. Strengthening us, enabling us to go forward for his glory and doing exploits in his name and for his kingdom. May God help us tonight. May he save us from ever falling into this state. That the Lord departs and we don't know it. But may he come and touch our hearts tonight and help us as we get to prayer. And may perhaps you feel that this is where you are. You've lost out with God. Perhaps you feel that's where you are. Well, there is mercy because, as I've mentioned, Samson's hair began to grow. Let me encourage you, if that's how you feel it to be tonight, you get before God privately in prayer tonight, as others are praying. Cry that God restores that strength to you. I pray that God will help us as we pray. May the Lord come and touch our hearts and encourage us as we pray. We have a God in heaven who is able to give strength to us and enable us to go through with him. So I pray the Lord will bless these thoughts to your heart even tonight. Let's get to prayer. Let's seek the Lord together.